MZTV.
Yes, I do watch other videos. No. Maybe I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I don't really watch any other scriptural videos. It's all I can do to handle mine, honestly. The worst thing I hate about most videos, I mean in general, is when people come on and say, "Hey guys!" Oh, that just drives me nuts. They have to come across like they're all excited. "Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Da 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 Da." Make sure you smash that. Why do people have to smash the like button? I don't even care if you press the like button, let alone smash it. Smash that like button. Don't forget to hit notifications, all that. It's just so formulaic. You'll never hear me saying that. In fact, you're more likely to hear me say, "I don't give a damn if you hit the like button. If you don't like it, hit the down button. Hit the thumbs down. I don't care. I'm just out here doing my thing." And besides, you're not guys. "Hey, guys." No, you are ladies and gentlemen. You are loyal viewers. "Hey, guys." And forget, I'm not always excited about this. So I'm not going to pretend I am. If I am, I'll be excited. If I'm not, I'm not going to pretend to be excited. According to some loyal viewers and ladies and gentlemen, some of my best videos have been made when I've been completely depressed, but I turn on the camera anyway. Do you remember that one video I made called, I'll say it a terrible way, and it was called "We Are All Dying." I made it outside, and I think the first 10 seconds of the video was just dead silence. People turn that one on, and they're going, "What the hell's going on here?" And it wasn't even focused on me. The camera wasn't even on me. It was on some light, in the, some little pin light in the background from the neighbor's security light or whatever. So what the hell's going on here? I was so depressed I didn't even want to be on camera. And I'm smoking a cigarette, so you can see the cigarette, but you can't see me. It was just totally off. And yet the truth in that video, in fact, I'm just going to link it down here. I haven't seen it in a while myself. It's probably entertaining. Probably entertaining. Some of my best videos are when I've been completely out of whack. You remember the one I was in the backseat of my car dressed like a fly? That's the time I dared people to get the truth from a guy in the back of his car who looked like a fly. I don't know what video that was. I could link, if I find it, I'll link that underneath, but mainly I'll just put, because I don't remember what that one was called. Okay, anyway, let's get down to business. As always, this is Martin Zender, and this is the highlight of my day. I'm happy to be with you, to talk to you every day. This is an outlet for me. I need you just as much as you need me. And I'm not assuming you need me. You've told me you need me. Keep telling me that. It helps. So I'm going to finish off in 2 Corinthians 5. I hadn't planned on doing a little sub-study on 2 Corinthians 5, but I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take these beautiful flowers in the way. I can't see my... Well, you know what? I can't. They're so beautiful. I've kept these things alive for 2 years now, and it's amazing. My skill with plants. Never thought I had a green thumb, but I do. I have a green thumb, an orange thumb, a yellow thumb, a white thumb. Absolutely astounding. I'm going to make this work. So here we go. Because there's a curious passage here that I really didn't understand until this morning. I was forced to look at it and understand it. So we've been talking about the love of Christ constraining us. One died for the sake of all. Consequently, all died. And the ones who realize this are the ones living not to themselves anymore, but to Christ. And the reason we don't have to live to ourselves anymore is that our old humanity died with Christ, and now we're a new creation in the mind of God, and so we don't have to focus on ourselves anymore. This is the most liberating thing you can imagine, and you only find that in Paul's gospel. And even those who read Paul's gospel, it takes a long time to come to this realization because we are so groomed, so trained to think of ourselves and how we are performing for God. So then the reason for all this wonderment is that we're not acquainted with anyone according to flesh. This has a two-pronged beauty. This is two-pronged beauty. This beautiness has two prongs, prong one and prong two. Prong one is that we're no longer equated with anyone according to flesh. That would include ourselves. We're delivered from the sick topic of us. Second prong. Even if we have known Christ after the flesh, nevertheless we know him so no longer. This is one of those subtle proofs that there are two gospels. One that knows Christ according to flesh as he walked on the earth. One that knows him as the celestial Son of God, no longer wearing his Jew suit. And now we get into new territory here. Well, one more bit of old territory. So that if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. The primitive passed by. Lo, there has come new. And then Paul says this. And I'm wondering, why does he say this? It seems not to go along with what he just said. It seems kind of like detached from the previous statement. He says, yet all is of God. Now, why would he suddenly make a statement about the sovereignty of God? Yet all is of God. Why? It's this. Because what he has just said is so fantastic. I think I called it yesterday. I was editing my video yesterday, and I said I called it unbelievable. But it is believable. It's not literally unbelievable. It's just so fantastic. And so Paul has to say here, as people read this, we don't have to consider ourselves according to flesh. We no longer have to know Christ according to flesh. One died for the sake of all. Consequently, all died. These are atom bombs that are exploding in the first century. I mean, this is 21st century pyrotechnics in the first century in the Revelation department. This stuff blinded Peter, James, and John to the point that they couldn't even look at it. They didn't understand it. Peter said, Paul says some things that are hard to understand. They're right here. They are right here. No longer know Christ according to flesh. The primitive passed by. There's a new creation. And in the new creation, I remind you, there's neither Jew nor Greek. That message is fatal to an Israelite. Fatal to an Israelite. Peter's going to be one of the 12 disciples sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. 12, 12, 12. It's all Israel all the time. So the message of a new creation, the message of neither Jew nor Greek, that just blows up the hopes and dreams of an Israelite. That they can't see this stuff. Paul says, yet all is of God. He's like, Paul's like, don't worry about this. You're not dreaming this up. This could not have come from you. All is of God. I think the all is all. I think it's everything because there's a definite article here which is indicated in the Greek, the all, a little dot in front of, there's a little dot in the Concordant version in front of the word all. That means the all. That means everything. Everything includes what is in the context. And what is in the context is all that I have just told you. This is of God. I've often said that when I go to Ephesians chapter 1, designated beforehand for the place of a son, we to be for the Lord and glory of God, and everything else in Ephesians, seats us among the celestials in Christ, that in the oncoming eons, God will display the greatness of his grace in his kindness to us. I mean, it just goes on and on in Ephesians, and this applies to that. All of this is of God, because you could not have dreamed it up. We can't maintain it, and we can't complete it. This is all of God. That's why he says that, because of the atom bombs that he just detonated right here on the page. This guy's detonating atom bombs on papyri, on those little skin paper things that they write on. He's detonating these atom bombs that have to do with spirituality, have to do with the future of the universe, have to do with the answer to everything that will bring you peace and comfort. I mean, this is more technical than anything the Apple company can produce. The marvels of your computer, the marvels of your cell phone, these things are nothing compared to the marvels on this page that were written on papyri. No, not papaya. No, they did not write this on papaya. It's too soft and it's perishable. So that's the marvel of this. What Paul wrote under the direction of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit wrote this. I keep having to remind you of that. Paul didn't write it. The Holy Spirit wrote it. Paul's the middleman, just a guy used to relay a message from God. Okay, so all of this is of God. who conciliates us to himself. Now, the King James and other common versions make a big translating mistake here. What a surprise. They say, who reconciles us to himself and is giving us the dispensation of the reconciliation. But there's two different Greek words for reconcile and conciliate. It's a big difference. Apokatalasso is reconcile. Katalasso is conciliate. So the common versions don't recognize that prefix. They don't recognize the prefix apo. Apo katalasso is reconcile. It's a two-way thing. It includes both parties. Without the prefix, it's katalasso, which is one way. So God conciliates us to himself. You see, God is conciliated to the entire world. That's a one-way peace. God has made peace between himself and the world. That's shocking enough. Going to get into details there. But those who receive the truth that God is conciliated to them, they then become conciliated to God. And at that time, there is reconciliation. But not until two parties come into this is there reconciliation. So it's obvious if you look at the world, not everyone's reconciled to God. So to put reconcile in this context is completely wrong. It gives you the wrong idea that the whole world loves God, the whole world's at peace with God. No, the whole world is mad at God, basically, with a few exceptions. The whole world is pretty much impatient with God. They think God's crazy. They think he's nuts, thanks to the Christians for the doctrine of eternal torment. So many things go wrong in people's lives that they can't imagine that there's not some kind of war battle between God and Satan, that nobody's really sure who's going to win that battle. In fact, if you look around, it seems like Satan's going to win that battle and is winning that battle. So people are completely fed up with God. They sure as hell are not reconciled to him. Nevertheless, the atom bomb that I just read to you in 2 Corinthians 5, actually, I haven't read it yet, is that God is conciliated to the world. He's at peace with the whole world. This is shocking because the Christian message is God is pissed at everybody. Everybody's on probation. You're hanging by a thread over the pit of hell, and you're one mistake away from getting that thread cut, and down you go, screaming into the cauldron of torture where no sunscreen is provided and your skin burns pretty badly. Second degree, third degree burns? Hell no. We're talking about fifth degree burns. You've never heard of those, I know. But in hell, we go the extra degree. There's more, yes. Fifth degree burns goes clear down to the bones. And that's the wonderful message that drives people from God today. So let's keep reading here. Who conciliates us to himself through Christ. See, we're going to find out in a few sentences that he's already conciliated to the world. But he conciliates us to him. That is, it becomes, when we are conciliated to God, it becomes a two-way conciliation, otherwise known as reconciliation, apokatalasso. But put the King James translation in here, or the NIV or the NASB. Well, we'll do that later. It's not so shocking here, but it will be shocking. Who conciliates us to himself through Christ. This is amazing. Through Christ. Why do we come to be at peace with God through Christ? Because Christ shows us the heart of God. And unless you know that Jesus Christ, that through the cross, Christ is going to conciliate all things, all people, all beings to himself, unless we know that, we can't be conciliated to this God ourselves. But to us, he's no longer a distant God. He's no longer the God of the tabernacle system, where you have to go through many curtains, many processes. You have to be baptized. Because outside of the temple, they had the laver where the priest washed their hands. They had the sacrifice where they had to put an animal in order to appease this angry God. And then you had to tiptoe through the tulips into his... You had to tiptoe through the landmines in order to get to this deity. But we learned through Christ that we have access with confidence to who? God? No, the Father. So we find out that he loves us as a father. And because of these things, see, God has to do this. God has to make us aware of all these things he has done. We're finding out that God has sent Christ as his approach present, his gift to us to make us like him. He does want us to like him. He just doesn't damn you if you don't. because he's the only one who can make you like him. But he sure as hell is going out of his way. He's going out of his way to present Christ as a love offering. Christ, this is what... It's not an offering in the sense that you better take this. It's an offering in the sense that Christ permanently changed. Listen, Jesus Christ permanently changed God's dealings with humanity. Permanently changed it in that, as I told you yesterday and many days before that, the death of Christ took the whole old humanity down with him. Remember, God cannot justify the old humanity. It sucks too badly because Adam sucked badly. Not letting Eve off the hook. I'm just going to mention Adam at this time. So, only because of this are we conciliated to God. God says here, conciliates us to himself through Christ. What passage? What's the reference to that amazing passage? It is verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. Yet all is of God. Otherwise, we couldn't believe any of this stuff. It's of God. It's not of you. Not of you, not your imagination. Not a pipe dream. Not some wish. Not some vague hope of a teary-eyed grandmother. This is of God. And the only way we can... I'm getting too excited. The only way we can believe it is if God gives us the belief, because it's so freaking fantastic. All is of God who conciliates us to himself. How in the world does he do that? Because he's so distant. He's so unreachable. He controls the weather. My God, he controls the weather. He makes it thunder and lightning. He's kind of scary sometimes, right? He does everything. He does it through Christ. Oh, the Lamb of God. God is a Lamb, but we wouldn't know that unless Jesus Christ showed up and showed us how gentle and tender and loving he is. And is giving us then. He's giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. What does that mean? I can see I'm not going to get past this verse in this show. I can't believe it, but it's true. He gives us the dispensation. Dispensation means the giving out of. A candy bar machine dispenses what? Candy bar, right? Yeah, candy bars. You were going to say what? Disposable razors. Kleenex. No, candy bars. So, the dispense means to give out. So, we have received an amazing truth that God... I still haven't gotten to that verse. God is conciliated to the world. I got to read that before I finish this. Let me just continue to read. All is of God, verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5, who conciliates us to himself through Christ. We're the only ones who know about this. We're the only ones who know what Christ did. Colossians 1, 16 through 20, that through the blood of the cross, he's going to conciliate. No, reconcile. I said, did I say conciliate earlier? I did. No, he's going to reconcile all things to himself. It's going to be this beautiful two-way fellowship with all creation. He does that through the blood of the cross. We're the only ones who know that, apparently. Nobody else knows it. Everybody else thinks God's pissed. Everybody else thinks that God didn't do anything about the old humanity. Everybody else believes, because of Christianity, that they're continually required to fight with themselves. But no, we're not fighting with ourselves, because we're by no means still to be living to ourselves, but to the one dying and being roused for our sakes. Why is that? How could that be? Because one died for the sake of all, consequently all died, and he who dies has been justified from sin. Let's see if I can keep reading here. All is of God, I can't say that often enough, don't get tired of it. I hope you're not getting tired of it. I'm not. Who conciliates us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. What is that? How that God was in Christ, or you could say through Christ, conciliating one way, God toward humanity, the world to himself. That's what God was doing on the cross, conciliating the world to himself. The world is a figure of speech, figure of association. He's putting the world for the people in the world, not reckoning their offenses to them. And the only way he can do that is he had to put the old humanity to death, because I'm going to get real theological here. The old humanity sucked. Okay? I hope I'm not blinding you with science here. I hope I'm not confusing you with theological terms. The old humanity sucked. Christ took it representatively, as a representative human, to the tomb, roast without it. Now God sees everything is brand new. Everything's brand new now. And we're given that message. We who have received it are now distributors of it. We are dispensers of it. Because he has given us, of all people. This is primitive, the way God does it. The truth is not primitive, but the way God does it is primitive. He sends human beings out. Okay, now you little pipsqueaks, go and tell them all about it. That's what he told Paul. Can you imagine? He calls Saul on the road to Damascus. He gives him these epic truths. One guy. There's only one guy in the body of Christ on the day Paul was heading to Damascus. One guy in the body of Christ who was loaded down with all these truths. Don't know if he got them all at one time, but he's freighted with this freight, this weight of glory. And now God says, okay, now, and Paul's facing a world full of unbelief, full of superstition, full of death, full of witchcraft. And he says, okay, now go tell them all about it. Who, me? Yeah, you. One guy. If I was that guy, I would need tranquilizers every day. I would need alcohol every night. It's just like, how? What pressure? I mean, I feel the pressure today. But I'm one of, a couple thousand. Paul was one plus nobody. He was the only guy. So it spread slowly. That's how God does it. So we're to do it the same way, primitively, person to person, making YouTube videos, teaching at conferences, whatever you have to do, conciliate, and I mean whatever you have to do, herald the word opportunely and inopportunely. I have an idea for a new way to get the message out that's going to blow your mind. I'm going to share it with you sometime soon. Some of you aren't going to be ready for it. Some of you, once you hear it, you still won't be ready for it. But for every person who is shocked by what I'm going to do, there's going to be 100 people who love it and say, go for it, Zender. This is the best idea you've ever had. But more on that later, okay? I'm always working, constantly. You know, for writers and evangelists, even when they're looking out the window, they're working. Look at that guy, he's lazy, he's just looking out the window. Oh, that guy's working, believe me. What's this kid doing for the evangelism? He's running 8 miles. Oh, I'm working while I'm running 8 miles. I'm coming up with 2 shows. I'm coming up with new ideas, so it's a constant thing. That's why I love to distract myself when I can with mindless YouTube videos. Funny animal videos. Music videos from the 70s. I watch game shows from the 70s. I'm rooting for people to win $300. People who have been dead for 40 years. I'm rooting for them to win the grand prize or to win that washer and dryer. Or I pray to God that that key turns the ignition to the car and that they win the car. These people have been dead for 40 years. I'm rooting for them. I'm excited. I'm excited about game shows that were recorded in the 70s. What's my problem? I don't know. It's a beautiful distraction. How that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them and placing in us the word of the conciliation. Okay, I can't go on any further. Look at my time. I get carried away, but these are amazing truths. I hope you've learned something today. I do. I learn something every time I talk. I really do. I am my favorite evangelist, I must admit to you. Whenever I'm down, depressed, I go to my videos, and it's like I'm looking at a third person. It's like I'm not that guy. I'm watching this guy, and I'm thinking, this guy's pretty good. He looks inspired. But folks, when I turn off this camera in 10 seconds, you're going to find out that the enthusiasm I have on this show doesn't always carry out into my real life. But you make me enthused. The fact that I'm speaking to you takes me to the next level. I wish you were here all the time, because then I could be this way all the time, but I'm not. I'm not going to show you what I'm like off camera, because to do that, I would have to turn on a camera.